Tonight, we're doing the highly anticipated annual Super Bowl pregame episode where I'll give you my predictions of symbolism by Bad Bunny, his occult connections, cultural Marxism, conspiracies, and I'll be breaking down every album cover, every ritual performance, over 100 music videos, and the strange timing of Epstein's disclosures, ICE rhetoric, and the political tension. It's all connected, and I'm going to tell you why all of this is happening here on Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. That's right, a special episode. I need you to go subscribe to my new YouTube channel, my third YouTube channel. I'm rebuilding again at Occult Symbolism. Link in the bio. Go to my link tree, allmylinks.com/IsaacW2As for double awesome. And you can go, because I'm going to recommend you watch the visuals for this episode, because I'm going to show you all the symbols that I'm talking about. It's going to be very important. It helps facilitate the understanding and grasp of this information. You'll also get to see me in a rare appearance with a baseball cap on, okay? It's sports ball season, and I got a sports ball cap. Which team am I supporting? You're going to have to check out the YouTube to find out, okay? Yeah, I'm trying to get to 100,000 subscribers on YouTube by the end of the year. A bold manifestation, if you will, and only you can help me, all right? And if you're on the supporter feeds and you're like, bro, I don't want to watch them ads on the YouTube, you don't have to. Tier 2, you unlock the ad-free version of the video. All right, so go check out the episode on the video index. This is going to be one of those ones that's going to be worth it because of all the images I'll put up here. Also, if you're brand new and you're like, I'm not a supporter yet and I want to get down. Well, if you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the VI tab in the menu, go to the very bottom and sign up. Use promo code MKUltra. You can get in that Tier 2 for the first month for free. Expires February 28th. Links and details in the notes. Now, why do we care about the Super Bowl? It's the peak viewership event of the year. It's the high-profile ritual. I'm not going to bore all of my old schoolers that have been here forever with me. Since 2011, I've been talking about this stuff. I'm not going to go into the details. If you're new and you're like, well, I want to learn about the high-profile ritual, no problem, fam. I got you. Link in the show notes. I did a show in 2022 explaining how all of this works, the symbolism, the propaganda, the ritual magic elements, and so on, right? If I'm talking about stuff today and it's going over your head and you're like, dude, I don't know where to start, go back and listen to that, then re-listen to this, okay? It's in 2022. You can scroll back on the podcast app or hit the link in the show notes. It's a must listen if you're not familiar with this stuff, all right? Okay. It's called the Super Bowl Illuminati Symbolism, Ritual Magic, Pagan Gods of Forbidden Knowledge, and the New Atlantis. I know, it's a wordy... I'm trying to hit all the words on the key searches and stuff like that. So, but yeah, the Super Bowl halftime show, Jay-Z, who allegedly fled the country because of the Epstein files, is running the halftime show and selecting the artists. And this year's main performer is going to be Bad Bunny. I'm going to go through his official bio. Then we're going to go through the symbolism that he's given us from album covers and performances and music videos. And like I said, I literally watched every video. It took me, I don't know how long it took me, hours. I bet he's got 100 music videos. It's insane. I had no idea. And he's got some political stances. I'm going to cover some predictions about what he's going to do with the Super Bowl. You're going to love that. That's worth the price of admission right there. So stick around. All right. Let's do his little wiki bio BS stuff so you know who I'm talking about. Because I didn't know who he was. I mean, I knew who he was. I didn't. Follow him. I have no idea. I couldn't tell you one Bad Bunny song. All right. He's a big deal. He's the king of Latin trap, right? That's like rap music, hip hop. All right. Born in Puerto Rico in 1994. Puerto Rico, part of America. Okay. If you're born in Puerto Rico, you are an American citizen because it is a territory of America. They are not a state, but they do get representation, excuse me, nor can they vote, but they do get citizenship. All right. So he is an American citizen. So all the people that are telling you like, oh, we need an American halftime show. It is American. Okay. Puerto Rico is American. I grew up in, Lancaster, PA with a ton of Puerto Ricans. One of my closest friends was Puerto Rican. So they are Americans. I hate to break the news. Now, like I said, I've never went out of my way to listen to Bad Bunny. I'm not opposed to it. I don't hate it, right? I consume a little bit of the reggaeton type stuff, probably more than your standard white guy with 2 years of high school Spanish. I'd say the only like reggaeton kind of guys, I listen to Daddy Yankee, Anuel AA, those kind of guys. But you know, it's not like my number one go-to. Now, if we look at his history, we go back to 2016. He's 22 years old. He gets a hit song with this other artist named Dials, which leads to him getting a record contract. So that's kind of when it started for him in his early 20s. He immediately gets a ton of features, right? He's featured on Cardi B's I Like It. He gets Drake on his album with Mia. Gets a big one in 2017 with Carl G. Ahora Me Llama. I'm going to butcher all this Spanish, by the way. Did I look up how to pronounce any of this stuff? No. Do I have 2 years of Spanish in high school under my belt? Yeah. I'm going to impress you. And I've been doing Duolingo for a month. So I'm prepared for this. I started Duolingo just for this episode. I want you to know that. That's the kind of detail I put into my research. All right. So he gets his debut album from his record deal in 2018 called X100 Pre. All right. Then he does a collaborate, and I'm going to go through the details and the artwork and all the symbolism here in a minute, but let's go through the basics for the normie type explanation of who he is. Does a collaboration album with another major Latin artist, J Balvin, called Oasis in 2019. Then he does his second solo album in 2020, YHLQMDLG. We're going to talk about what that means. It means Aleister Crowley, Illuminate Confirm. Third album, El Último Tour del Mundo in 2020. That's the first Spanish album to ever hit number one on the Billboard charts. His fourth album in 2022 is Un Verano Sin Ti, stays number one on the Billboard for 13 weeks. Best performing album of the year. First Spanish album to nominate for a Grammy album of the year. Then in 2023, another number one album, Nadie Sabe Lo Que Va a Pasar Mañana. Then another number one album in 2025, Debí Tirar Más Fotos. And for this one, he does a concert tour. And this is where we first get a little bit of this political tension, right? He does this tour, but he won't go to the, all over the globe, no American dates. He said, there were many reasons why I didn't show up in the U.S., and none of them were out of hate. I performed there many times. All of the shows have been successful. All of them have been magnificent. I've enjoyed connecting with Latinos who have been living in the U.S., but specifically for a residency here in Puerto Rico, where when we are an unincorporated territory of the United States, people from the U.S. could come here to see the show. Latinos and Puerto Ricans of the United States could also travel here or to any part of the world. But there was the issue of like effing ICE could be outside my concert. And it's something that we were talking about and very concerned about. So very political, also very conscious of him to, have that understanding, because that's exactly what's going on, okay? And then just last weekend, he won the album, or the Grammy for the best album. Surely part of the ritual, all right? It's of no coincidence that he would be the Super Bowl halftime performer and get the album, his first Grammy album of the year, right? And during that acceptance speech, he yet again denounced ICE, which I also support. If you want my opinion, you didn't ask for. I don't like ICE either. F them. You don't get to shoot civilians. I know that's a hot take, but it's basically everything Alex Jones was warning us about for all these years. And now all of a sudden he's like, you know what? This is okay though, is what it seems like. I don't listen to him, but in passing I see stuff and I'm like, I thought we were worried about this like 1984 Orwellian totalitarian military police force in the streets of America. I thought that was an issue. And now it's like, oh, but this is okay. Get out of here. I'm not buying any of this BS. I ain't taking no shorts, no losses from here on out, man. I read enough of those Epstein files. I'm like, oh, everything's coordinated. I don't believe none of these shows and podcasts and supposed truthers that are out here saying all this stuff and trying to like do all this, what do you call it, mental gymnastics to defend this nonsense. Like, I don't care, man. Anyway, Roger Goodall from the NFL, he assured the viewers of the Super Bowl that the Bad Bunny knows he is here to unify viewers, not divide them with anti-Trump rhetoric. Because there's a lot of these NFL owners, I think it's like 13 of them are in the Epstein files, and a lot of them are hardcore conservatives aligned with Trump. So there's this weird political thing going on here, right? And I'm starting to think that, you know, every truther in the planet has always been saying, like, look, the left and right are both sort of in on it with one sort of puppet master. And that seems to make more sense to me now, like reading through the files, because I'm like, oh, so they use both sides to sort of amplify problems. So you've got right people, people on the right guilty of this, and people on the left, and that could be what we see at the Super Bowl. Okay. So now Bad Bunny, he's going to be the first solo Latin artist to headline the Super Bowl halftime with much controversy. But I was like, I thought Shakira already did this, but anyway, whatever. And the political rhetoric is already going off the chain. We got Trump calling it absolutely ridiculous. All right. So to sum up, Bad Bunny won 3 Grammys, 17 Latin Grammys, 8 Billboards, Artist of the Year by Billboard in 22, the most streamed artist on Spotify 2020, 2021, 2022, 2025. And you're probably thinking, what happened in 23 and 24? Well, he was the second most streamed artist. So the people that don't understand why he's the performer, I'm like, I don't know, kind of makes sense. I mean, I don't know how much of this stuff is rigged with false streams and stuff, but there's a lot of Latin American people that listen to this, so a numbers perspective, the guy's crushing it. He's also a wrestler. He wrestles in the WWF, ironically, with the Latino World Order, which is a off branch of the New World Order from the 90s. If you were watching WCW in the 90s, like I was, you had the New World Order. Kind of interesting. He's also in some films, as to be expected at this point. Now, his background, his family, nothing too crazy here. Dad was a truck driver. Mom is a school teacher. Always seems to be the story, doesn't it, right? You know, Drake's mom was a teacher. The world's second greatest actor, Tom Cruise. Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Will Ferrell, Alec Baldwin. All these guys, their parents were like school teachers. Kind of interesting. He was also in the church choir. He's a devout Roman Catholic. You see him wearing the cross many times. He grew up working in a grocery store bagging groceries. Now that he's famous, he's dating all these chicks. He's dated Kendall Jenner. And, you know, look, Bad Bunny, my brother in Christ, don't do this. It's a trap. Okay? You got to steer clear of the Kardashians and the Jenners. Not a good track record between, you know, Scott Disick and Caitlyn Jenner and Kanye West and Lamar Odom and Travis Scott, who Bad Bunny worked with on Utopia. And Travis Scott, of course, a whole show on its own. I've done that many, talked about him many times. Now, what's interesting is that there's this debate about whether he's gay or not. He said, I'm going to read you from, I didn't write the source down. This might be Rolling Stone. I don't remember. This might be Wikipedia, actually. Bad Bunny has also expressed publicly that he views his own sexuality as fluid. In a 2020 interview with the LA Times, he stated, quote, "At the end of the day, I don't know if in 20 years I will like a man. One never knows in life. But at the moment, I am heterosexual and I like women." I mean, it's kind of odd. It's a little odd. It's an odd thing to say. And I've got a conspiracy about all this, okay? Because over the years, he's been controversial because he's been wearing dresses and skirts and pink stuff and painting his fingernails and dressing like a woman. He's kissed men. I mean, he's done a lot of the stuff, right? But then he comes out and he's like, look, I'm not gay. And what he's doing, he's saying, is challenging the gender stereotypes in fashion, trying to break cultural norms. And immediately the conspiracy crowd would say, this is cultural Marxism. And it might be. I'm going to come back to this later. Let's get through some more content. We'll come back. All right. Now, to keep things fair and balanced, Bad Bunny also philanthropy, which a lot of bad guys are into philanthropy. So let's not get too excited here. But I guess, he clearly has a love for Puerto Rico. He donates a lot of money, a lot of time to the Puerto Rican youths and all this stuff. So take that for what it's worth. Now, what you came here for, the symbolism. We got to start with the albums, because I mean, there's just so much to get through here. In 2018, the debut album X100 Pre, which is an abbreviation of Por Siempre, which means forever. This is the album that had the guest appearance immediately with Drake on Mia, and had a guest appearance by Diplo, which tells me how he was supposed to blow up. There's no other reason to have Drake and Diplo on your first album than you're supposed to blow up. They're going to use you for something. And of that, Rolling Stone will put it at the number 41 best debut album of all time. Okay. And the 447th album of all time, just in general, out of the top 500 albums of all time. Now, if you're wondering, because I like to put this in perspective, because I was like, I don't know, what are like the top debut albums? Here's a handful. The top five. Number five, Patti Smith Horses. Never heard of her, never heard of the album. Call me stupid. Number four, Wu-Tang 36 Chambers. Good call. Love it. Number three, Velvet Underground. Okay, fair. Number two, Biggs Ready to Die. Good call. Number one, Ramones self-titled debut, which I'm a huge Ramones fan. I don't hate on that. So I looked through the rest of them because I'm like trying to say, is Bad Bunny the 41st best debut album? Let's take a look. Number eight, Guns N' Roses Appetite for Destruction. Love that. Number 16, My Cabala Queen, Madonna. Number 21, Beatles, Please Please Me. Number 31, Nas Illmatic. Number 32, Taylor Swift. Number 43, The B-52s, who I also love and think they deserve that. So Bad Bunny is around this area. And I think they're rage baiting me personally. They put Beastie Boys License to Ill at number 48, putting Bad Bunny higher. And like, I'm sorry, License to Ill is a top 10 debut album, period, end of story. Okay. Now the album cover, right off the bat, we see the eyeball, which is the third eye. He says, this all-seeing eye stuff I'm going to bombard you with, this is the third eye, opening up the pineal gland, you know, illuminate, confirm. And let's also note that the album has the X on it. And the X, of course, the symbol for the resurrection of Osiris. We talked about this many times. Because when they buried Osiris, his arms are crossed and he's holding the staffs crossed. And this goes into all kinds of crazy territories. Like we talked about the X and the O being the sex magic mark of the Antichrist. I did a show with Jamie Hanshaw just recently where we talked about Kenneth Grant's books. But anyways, the X, symbolism of the Antichrist, the other, the adversary, or the resurrection of Osiris, however you want to look at that. And furthermore, if you zoom in on the artwork, you can see the Ouroboros type design of an arm circling the all-seeing eye. And within it, guess what you see? You see a bunch of X's and O's. There we go. Mark of the Beast, Kenneth Grant, summoning the Setian current of Typhon from the abyss to come and, you know, kill us all, I guess. Does Bad Bunny understand all this? I don't think so. You'll also see in the artwork lightning bolts and a demonic hand. This is, of course, symbolism of the fallen angel Lucifer, who fell like lightning. If you look at his painted thumbnail, there's an alien head on it, right? Because aliens are definitely part of the agenda. If you zoom in on the pupil, you're going to see another lightning bolt, and it's hitting the iris and a spiral in the center, which is the evolution of man. So the first album cover just packed with symbols right off the rip, okay? Then in 2020, his second album, YHLQMDLG. It has a kid version of Bad Bunny that you're going to see throughout his videos. And he's got the third eye on his forehead. Again, the all-seeing eye, the pineal gland. It means I am enlightened in the ways of the occult, the Illuminati, right? I am woke to the occult is what it means. I mean, you could argue what the all-seeing eye means, left eye of Horus and being in the moon eye and how it's like in Greek culture, the all-seeing eye is a repellent against the evil eye, so it actually means a good thing. In general, what I see is when we talk about the all-seeing eye and the pineal gland, it's about this awakening, this enlightenment that the occult initiates receive. Okay. Now, the name of this album is an acronym in Spanish, and it means I do whatever I want. In Spanish, it's Yo hago lo que me da la gana. Oof. And you know what I mean by that? You know what I mean? That's Aleister Crowley. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. It's about finding your universal true will through your holy guardian angel, whispering to disembodied spirits to tell you what you should do. All right. Illuminate, confirm, as usual. 2020, he has a third album also called El Ultimo Tour del Mundo, and he must have hurried up to put this out. Kind of interesting that he would have two albums in 1 year, right? And on the cover, you see a truck with Bad Bunny on top. Nothing crazy here, right? No, wrong. If you zoom in on his pants, he's got a patch, and on that patch, it just says "The." But if you are aware of the magic of Stanley Kubrick, you'll notice that that is the exact font and image from The Shining. Is there a conspiracy here? I don't know. Did you watch my almost 4-hour analysis on my YouTube about The Shining and the conspiracies about it? Tell me what you think. If I remember, I'll put the link in the show notes. If not, just go to my YouTube, at Occult Symbolism, all one word. You got to like, you got to hit the bell and say you want all the notifications. You got to subscribe, and you got to hit me with them hype points. Hit me with the hype points on the app if you're watching on the app. It's the new stupid thing I got to tell you to do. Sorry. But you recall in The Shining, they're talking to Danny, and they call Danny Doc. And Dick Halloran makes a Bugs Bunny joke about it. You know, he's like, oh, what's up, Doc? And Mom's like, how did he know his name was Doc? I didn't tell him that. That's his nickname. Well, a reference to the bunny, Bugs Bunny. And the white bunny, of course, one of the main symbols of occult enlightenment. I think we talk about this later. 2022, his fourth album, Un Verano Sin Ti. It's just got a big heart, but then there's a big old eyeball on it. Of course, the all-seeing eye must be here too. You see some dolphins in the background. I mean, is that Illuminate confirmed? Go ask Donut what he thinks about the dolphin. The dolphin, of course, could be the representation of John C. Lilly MK Ultra mind control type experiments. He's out there humping dolphins, trying to create mind control altars. It's a whole thing, okay? 2023, the fifth album, Nadie Sabe Lo Que Va A Pasar Mañana. On the album cover, you see a gone horse, and the guy looks like an alien with red eyes. What's up with the aliens? Well, I think we're going to find out this summer. I think this summer we're getting the full disclosure after the Spielberg movie comes out and shows us shape-shifting lizard people. I think that we're going to be told, like, hey, I got some bad news, guys. If you read the Epstein files, we have to... How can I say this without getting banned off YouTube? We have to offer up sacrifices to the alien gods. Unfortunately, all the things you've heard about pizza and pineal gland extract, kind of true. Sorry about that. And I think that's what all this is about. 2025, the sixth album, Debí Tirar Más Fotos. We see two chairs in presumably Puerto Rico. What does it mean? I don't know. No clue. And that's where we're at. Now let's talk about the high-profile ritual that he's already done in the past. Because the biggest thing that stands out to me is his presence, okay? Just looking at his name, Bad Bunny. Supposedly, the name comes about because he put a bunny costume on one time and he looked mad. Which is all curious to me. Because the bunny ties us into MKUltra stuff. In Playboy, they had the Playboy bunnies. They were allegedly some kind of form of sex slaves for Hugh Hefner, allegedly, according to all the people that worked there and the documentaries about it and so on. In Alice in Wonderland, the initiate follows the white rabbit down underground where all initiates get their enlightenment, and then she comes back up. Also, the white rabbit is followed in The Matrix or Donnie Darko, which the Donnie Darko thing, I did a whole show about Donnie Darko, and that ties into all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, Donald J. Darko, you've got Patrick Swayze as the person who's has a certain affection for people that he shouldn't have. I mean, there's a lot of strange things in Donnie Darko. Time travel, all this stuff is in the Epstein files, by the way, okay? 2018, at the AMAs, he performed with an all-seeing eye on the third eye yet again. 2020 Super Bowl. That's right, he's already been at the Super Bowl. It's when the J-Lo and Shakira were heading. He performed with Shakira, who was dressed as the Scarlet Woman. And some of the stage patterns were of interest. You saw sort of roses and a cross. And you could argue there's some rosy cross, the Rosicrucians. We'll talk about that in the conclusion. He was also wearing a silver jacket that was designed by Last Heirs, and it's covered in Swarovski crystals. And if you look closely, the back of it has a massive skull with the all-seeing third eye. Now, the skull, of course, important in terms of Freemasonry. It symbolizes death, which, interesting, he would have that in 2020. It's going to be more interesting when you find out that the album was a dystopian end-of-the-world apocalypse album. Huh. The skull, of course, memento mori. It means to know that you will die someday. It's what Freemasons do in the Chamber of Reflection. They hold a skull and they look at it, right? Skull, of course, relative to the Skull and Bones, the Yale Secret Society, where, guess what? They do a lot of rituals about being buried in a coffin. Like who? Like Osiris. It's the Osiris resurrection ritual. Are you keeping up? Keep up. I'm not slowing down anymore. We're just going for it because time is limited. The shape-shifting lizard people are letting us know they exist anytime now. 2021, the Grammys. Again, Dancing with the All-Seeing Eye. 2022, MTV VMAs. This is the one where he kissed one of the male backup dancers, and I propose this was a humiliation ritual. And I will explain why after we finish all the music videos. And I know, look, I'm a big LGBTQ supporter. Lots of them in my family. Love them. I will support them as always. That is not a dig against him. I'm saying, I will explain it later, though. All right? I think he was forced to do that. Let me get through this. 2023, he was on the cover of Rolling Stone. And the image shows what? The all-seeing eye. And a tattoo of the alchemical rebus on his torso. The alchemical rebus being the perfected being. The hermaphroditic return to Adam Karmam in the Kabbalah. It's the achievement of alchemy. It's the great work. All right? It's the Red King and the White Queen, or the male and female combined. It's the opposing forces coming together. They call this the sacred marriage or the alchemical wedding of Christian Rosenkreutz, the guy who created Rosicrucianism. Bad Bunny has lots of rose symbolism, including at the 2020 Super Bowl. Plot spoiler, I think the 2026 Super Bowl, we're also going to get some more of that rosy cross stuff. Has a lot of deep meaning. But ultimately, it goes back to sex magic and goat with the bobs, right? Opposing forces coming together. You see this in Twin Peaks, right? These opposing polarities coming together, sex magic, females being used for goddesses and rituals, just like Shakira as the Scarlet Woman in the Super Bowl. And he's got other tattoos we got to talk about besides the alchemical rebus that are of interest. He has a Saturn tattoo. It's got three B's around it for his brothers, apparently, which I found curious because, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Hiram Abiff story, don't they? What's the names of the assassins? He had three assassins, and I thought, I'm going to try to type this in with my left hand while I talk to you because I didn't think about this part of it, but the three assassins, oh, they're three J's, Jubella, Jubello, and Jubellum. My bad. Good thing I looked it up. I set you guys straight on the correct path here. But yeah, there's a symbol of Saturn with three B's, the names for his brothers, allegedly. Kind of curious, though, connected to the death and resurrection of Osiris rituals in Freemasonry, with Osiris being Hiram Abiff, their founder. Then he's got the moon tarot card on his right thigh. Again, tarot cards being quite occulted. Butterfly on the stomach, symbolic of Project Monarch MKUltra. Got the rainbow on the stomach, also symbolism of MKUltra. They're told that the victims go over the rainbow where they create the altar, right? Over the Rainbow, an interesting song when you look at the history of it and who wrote it and why they wrote it. I'm not going to say any more about that on here. I talked about this. I think I talked about this on Breaking Social Norms. It's a podcast I do with my wife. We did a 3-hour Epstein file show recently. And, you know, we get a little more dangerous on that show because I do not put that on YouTube. He's also got the number 10, which in Kabbalah is the number of perfection. He has a lot of these tattoos symbolizing this perfection, great work of Bad Bunny. And he got all these tattoos from 2022 to 2023, right in this period, right? Because before that, he had none. Now, remember that. That's when he got these tattoos, 2022 to 2023, because I'm going to tell you some things about what happened during this period. And it's going to be, I have to wait till we get to the music video symbolism. But before we get into that, some quick plugs, some quick updates. I know you hate the housekeeping, but let's go. Again, go subscribe to my new YouTube. I need 100,000 of you in there by 2027. Only you can help me. Add occult symbolism. If you haven't done that yet, go do it now. If you're already here, please subscribe. Please hit the bell and say all notifications, okay? Thank you. Now, if you are a supporter and you're like, I don't want to deal with your YouTube nonsense and your ads, on Patreon and VIP section, go tier two. All right? That's where you get the video version of the show, ad-free, early access, bonus content. And if you're on Patreon and VIP, if you notice, I sent out an email and notification that I uploaded a new perk to Patreon and VIP section. It's the Red Pill Daddy Old School Video Archive. Videos of what got me going down this path in the early 2000s of my Red Pill Daddies, Bill Cooper and David Icke. Necessary viewing if you're new to all this. Hell, even if you're old to this. Lots of interesting content. They were saying years and years and years ago that, oh my goodness, I think they're right. Also, if you're brand new and you're like, I'm not in no VIP, no Patreon, but I want to get down on an action, well, I got an offer still going. If you go to the VIP section for the month-to-month tier one or tier two, use coupon code MKUltra. We talked about this in MKUltra part four. You can get in for free. IlluminatiWatcher.com. Hit the VIP tab on the menu. Scroll down. Sign up for the month-to-month tier one or tier two. Promo code MKUltra. You got till February 28th. Okay, back to the show. Link in the show notes. Music video symbolism. Many videos that he has released don't have any symbolism. And like I said, but there's like 100 videos. So 20% might, and that's a lot of videos to go through because this guy is cranking them out. His first video ever was Soy Peor. And you see him throw someone in the trunk with a bag on their head and X's on their eyes. Then he's dancing in front of an X that's on fire. Okay. This is the death of Osiris and the resurrection. The fire is the alchemical process. He is the phoenix, so he is dying and being reborn. Because it turns out that the person with the bag on the head is, guess who? Bad Bunny. This is the death of the ego. He is killing his old self to be reborn into the occult ways for the Illuminati music industry. And then to add to it, you see the burning rose. Okay, they're taking him down the path of the Rosicrucians. December 2017, a video called Cambia. He's already got Ric Flair in the music videos. I'm like, whoa, that was quick. But again, he was supposed to blow up. That's why he's got features by Drake right off the bat. And you'll notice Ric Flair in the music video, he says, this is the new religion. Why does he say that? Same reason that there was a song of, what was it, The Weeknd and Belly? Where Belly says, no religion is the new religion. Like, they tell you this stuff if you listen. Ironically, I actually messed with this video. It's kind of cool. Heavy Scarface mobster vibes. June 2018, Estamos Bien. He starts painting his fingernails here. And he's depicted as a slice of pizza while eating pizza. Recall this is 2018, not terribly long after all the emails about this kind of stuff. October 2018, Mia, a video he does with Drake, 1.6 billion views. That's the power of Drake. December 2018, Solo de Mi, a woman is singing and she does the rock diamond. This is the symbol we see from Jay-Z and Beyonce. And in the OTO, it represents the fire goddess. It's an actual hand sign, symbol gesture that they do. April 2019, 200 mile per hour is the video. And there's lots of eyeballs, you know, lots of all seeing eyes by Bad Bunny and throughout this whole thing. It's the most common symbol he does. I notice his gestures and dancing. They're getting a little more zesty, right? And the video ends with the 666 hand over the third eye. It's like the double whammy of occult symbolism, right? Because the three fingers overlap to make three sixes. Some point in history, they tried to say they're like, oh, this is a white supremacy symbol. And it's like, well, that's not what it started out as. It started out as meaning the womb of the Illuminati or the devil was 666. You also see him do that symbol a lot as well. May 2019, Ni Bien Ni Mal. Two times you get the 666 all-seeing eye double whammy. Then you got May 2019, Kayata. I don't know how I say that. Sorry, guys. He's wearing a black mask. Again, May 2019. kind of weird. This is pre-pandemic. All right. August 2019, again, pre-pandemic. Yo Le Llego with J Balvin, another black mask. Why is this a fashion thing in 2019? And you'll also find out that in 2020 or 21, he was on the cover of Rolling Stone wearing a mask. Kind of interesting. August 2019, J Balvin and Bad Bunny, Ciudad Por Ahí. This one actually isn't on Bad Bunny's YouTube page, ironically. But you see lots of symbolism here. You see masks, again, pre-pandemic. You see bats, which was also a very controversial thing. If you were around for the pandemic, you know, we were arguing about if this thing came from bats in a cave or they were eating them or whatever. All symbolism of the pandemic before the pandemic. You also see the vow of silence and an inverted cross. Huh. That's kind of interesting. October 2019, La Canción starts out in what presumed to be like a New York City subway at Station 33, the highest level of Freemasonry. Also, a reference to, again, becoming the Osiris, becoming the new God, because, you know, Christ finished his ministry at 33. November 2019, Bete starts out with the boy looking through a peephole, again, with the all-seeing eye, and you see more black masks. You see a black square on his shirt. That is the symbol for Saturn. And the video ends with a zoom in on, again, the all-seeing eye. December 2019, Quien Tu Eres, triple whammy here. We got the black mask. We got the black and white checkered shirt, which is the opposing forces of black and white, the floor of the Freemasonic temples, right? The Moses pavement, the opposing forces of the go with the bobs, as well as the 666 hand on the all-seeing eye pineal gland. My goodness. March 2020, now we're in the pandemic. But it was presumably filmed before that. Yo Perio Soya. Sola. He dresses up as a woman throughout this video, and he's dancing with himself. Kind of weird. And if you look in the kids' room, there's the checkered pattern on the wall behind him. There's the black and white go with the bobs. And the video ends with 666 on the eye, as usual. I think they made this guy do this a million times. I don't know if he was aware what he was doing. Then you got a YouTube artist spotlight stories from July 2020, and this is interesting. He starts out by saying that he can attract everything he wants with his mind, and everyone else could do the same. This is law of manifestation. Okay? This is very much New Age. This is the secret. This is the occult. This is the idea behind magic, right? This is why these guys do ritual magic. They are trying to create their own reality of what they want it to be. All right? It shows us all seeing eyes throughout the video and how you've got to dream to create or innovate. Now, if you listen to me and my 55 episode Twin Peaks deep dive, you know we talked about Kenneth Grant and how important the dream state is for occult magic. Don't ask me which episode. I feel like I talked about it every few episodes, it felt like, because that was the whole shtick of David Lynch and Twin Peaks. It's like the dreamer who dreams. All right. And you can unlock all those in the Patreon or VIP section. Oh, goodness. He talks about in this artist spotlight about how not everyone has the strength to go from working in a grocery store to becoming famous. But he views himself as a normal human who is aware of his power. Again, he's very much talking about unlocking these occult powers. December 2020, Oi Cobre. In this video, he goes out to the desert, which is a place where all the initiates are taken. This is where Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard were, you know, beating their meat to summon the Antichrist goddess. And guess where he's headed? He's headed towards a black cube, again with the Saturn symbolism, okay? And guess who's inside? Old grifter-ass Snoop Dogg and some fashion models, I don't know. Fashion stuff. January 21. There's a video for Booker T with obviously the wrestler Booker T. But what's curious, Bunny's wearing a shirt. This is 2032. And I thought, what's that about? I look it up. Sure enough, there's this dystopian future claims that he has that 2032 is a year of societal collapse. And this apparently goes back to his previous album, El Último Tour del Mundo, which means the last tour of the world, that he released during the pandemic. That was the one that he hurried up to make sure to get out in 2020. It was his vision of a dystopic future. And it refers to his last album tour in 2032. I mean, he's predicting his own fate, which I don't think goes well for a lot of these artists and stuff that are projecting all this stuff out into the universe. You know what I mean? Then we got the big one. Halloween, October 31st, 2023. Baticano. Remember I was talking about all those tattoos he got? 2022 to 2023. I think Baticano is a shifting point for him. All right. In the video, he gets raised from the dead like Frankenstein by Steve Buscemi. And but there's a reference to several horror movies. There's a Frankenstein reference. And then he's Nosferatu, or Lord Orlok from the Nosferatu story. And then it shifts into Dr. Caligari. All these things are very occulted. Frankenstein, of course, is based on the ideas of alchemy. Dr. Caligari was a story that we talked about in MKUltra Part 3 of my Deep Dive series, because it's mentioned in Poisoner in Chief as one of the tales that influenced the CIA into pursuing mind control efforts. And we talked about several pop culture references back then with like Shakespeare's Macbeth and all this stuff. It's an MKUltra tale. So then Bad Bunny's in a graveyard and he sees who? The Grim Reaper, a.k.a. Saturn. There's another Saturn reference. And then we see a pastor and he is watching TV with his kid and lets the kid watch this sort of gratuitous murder, but then shields his eyes when there's two men kissing. You know, it's a critique about what kids should watch and shouldn't watch. And there's images of Christ paintings. And it's like he's pointing out the hypocrisy of the church here. Then he's surrounded by all these all-seeing eyes and saying prayers under the full moon. What is that about? It's like, you're saying prayers while you're surrounded by these occult forces. That's interesting. And then it ends with a Thriller dance. Now, what's interesting, that this would be posted on Halloween when contact with the entities is the greatest. And I was digging into this video because I was like, what is this all about? And I saw a video from Para Fantastico explaining what Bad Bunny is talking about, because again, I don't speak Spanish, but apparently he's saying that he's repenting for having all these demons around him and for influencing people with those demons. And then he's like, hey, but I didn't bring evil into the world, with the implication that he was created like Frankenstein's monster, which I read as him saying, look, I was created as a puppet in the music industry. And in a way, that absolves him from his sins, is what he thinks, right? And that's pretty wild. There's been many celebrity appearances in his music videos and wrestlers. Someone's coordinating all this. There's lots of money behind him. You're trying to tell me Al Pacino listens to Bad Bunny and he's like, oh yeah, let me be in the music video? No, someone's paying for this. Someone's coordinating this. And the Nosferatu is a curious choice for the music video, because if you know the history of that movie, the art director and the producer of the movie was in the Brotherhood of Saturn, which is probably why you see the Grim Reaper in the video as well. If you read a book by Arthur Moros called The Cult of the Black Saturn, I'm going to read you from it for you. Quote, Sani's description in the Sani Mahatmya is strikingly similar. The translation reads, Lord Saturn is tall, black, long-limbed, and emaciated, with reddish-brown eyes, large teeth and nails, prominent veins, a sunken stomach, a long beard, matted locks, and profuse, coarse, stiff body hair. He is lame and his limbs are rigid. His constitution is cold and dry. Intensely harsh, he is cruel in authority, and his gaze, which is directed downward, is utterly terrifying. So basically what I'm saying is that Nosferatu is Saturn. That's what the guy who created the movie, who was in the cult of the Brotherhood of Saturn, depicted him to be, right? Which is interesting, because our next video also depicts Saturn. And recall the previous videos, we had the Saturn cube out in the desert with old grifter-ass Snoop Dogg. So the next video, December 2024, El Club. Strange video. He's mostly talking about his ex-girlfriend, but the images splashed all over are quite odd. And it starts out with him getting onto an elevator. The elevator, of course, going back to Prince, the symbolism for the devil. That's what L.A. Reid said. That's what Prince meant by the elevator won't bring us down, okay? In the video, you see a baby getting stamped on the forehead with middle class, meaning your fate is sealed from birth, unless you take the Faustian bargain that he did. You'll also see a face on this artwork of a face on here, and I can't say the word, but if you had a face, remember Texas Chainsaw Massacre where he cut off someone's face and put it on his, and then there was theories that a very famous woman, political woman, who was doing the same thing with, you know, if you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. But that's in the video. Then there's images of demons everywhere. And then there's like a thing of him kissing himself, which I feel like he is trying to show us, like, this is the things I'm surrounded by. This is the things I was forced to do. And again, he's on fire in the room, very much Alchemical Phoenix stuff. And you look on the nightstand, you'll see there's an owl. All right. Representative of Minerva or the Bohemian Grove where the elites meet and worship the giant owl. And it ends with him taking the remains of the house that was on fire and burying it and planting a Puerto Rican flag on it. Now, let's wrap up the music video analysis on something really intriguing. It seemed like at this specific moment, he stopped showing us the painted fingernails and the skirts and the dresses and the pink and the male-on-male kissing, even the masks from 2019. And I think he's trying to tell us he was forced to do these things. And his music videos, they evolved a lot. It was like all this party stuff, and then it was like kind of this gender-bending stuff. And now it seems like he's trying to tell stories, and I think those stories are that he was controlled. And in fact, a video from July 25 called Alhambra Pua is a zoom-in of a woman in a dress, and all you see is her feet the whole video. And I was watching, and I thought, okay, it's going to zoom out. It's going to be Bad Bunny, gender-bending again, right? But he zooms out, and it's a woman. And then it says, "No me quiero ir de aquí," which translates to "I don't want to leave here," which tells me he wasn't down with any of that stuff. He was being told what to do with all of that. And that takes us to one of the big theories about all of this Bad Bunny controversy, is this cultural Marxism theory that he is, that there's this agenda and he is a puppet for it. Now, my opinion, my beef with the theory, not saying it's not true, I'm just saying my only beef with it is that it muddies the waters. It becomes this right-left argument thing, a cultural war, and it doesn't get us any further into fixing any of this stuff, right? Because conservatives will throw out this cultural Marxism thing for anything they don't like or something new and scary. It's like the only thing safe they want to watch is people singing church hymns, I guess, right? And it doesn't leave artists any sort of ability to be artists, doesn't leave people who aren't hetero cisgender people to do that, right? Like, I don't need every story to be hetero white males, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need that. I like interesting stories with interesting characters. I don't care, you know, but sometimes, like, they go overboard with it. Like, sometimes it is too much and it's like, ah, all right, I get it. So, like, I'm not saying they're completely wrong, I'm just saying, like, it devolves and gets us away from the argument of what really matters, okay? Because in cultural Marxism, the idea is that all this gender bending is part of the destruction of the family unit. And it's a valid critique, right? In there somewhere, that there is some level of that going on. And you'll notice that the people that point this out also seem to have a problem with anything that goes against what they want to see, right? Like, they hate seeing BBWs in the swimsuit issue or Victoria's Secret, as if, you know, just because they don't like it, that means nobody would find that attractive, like, which is crazy. And the same argument for the gay stuff, like, just because they hate it, it doesn't mean that everything is a conspiracy because it's there, is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? And if there was, I don't know. To me, the whole argument gets convoluted very quickly. And it's typically used for an agenda of, I don't know, some kind of religious agenda, which, again, like, I'm a Christian, like, it's fine. I get it. I'm just saying, like, it gets messy quick, right? But like I said, you could argue that destructions of the cultural norms in order to destroy the family unit so that the people left have a reliance on the government. You could argue that point, and I'd say there's elements of that that are true, right? If you want to choose that as the problem. But I don't think that, like, with divorce rates acts as if like families weren't broken before Bad Bunny started doing this. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of divorce rates, a lot of problems with communication and relationships and couples and so on, right? And if you want to fix that, you got to look at all these sorts of social problems, right? Back in the day, women couldn't vote. They couldn't have their own credit cards. They couldn't have checking accounts, which led to a control system in a marriage instead of a collaborative happy home, you know? Dads would go to work all day, then hit the bar and sleep with Susie from the office, and all that was supposedly great for the family, I guess, in the 50s or whatever, but Bad Bunny wearing a dress in 2019, like, that's the thing, that's what's, that's the problem, and I'm like, I don't know about that, you know? It's like pretending porn is a new problem. They propose to ban it as if people won't figure something else out. And there's always advocacy to have a control system. That's where it goes. Like, that's what I don't like about it. It's always like, you know what we need to do? We need censorship. We need a control system. And I'm like, I don't know if that's the answer, man. I think education and awareness and choice is the key and free will to decide what you want to consume, right? And I'll give you a perfect example. I've watched, I don't remember the name of it. There was a dating show. Me and my wife like to watch dating shows on Netflix, right? Some like trash reality dating shows. And we've seen most of them, like Love is Blind and what's the one where they, for Temptation Island. There was one where it was like a gay version, right? It had like the, you know, I don't know, two dudes, two chicks, like coupled up, right? And I watched that and that's fine. I don't know. It doesn't bother me any, right? But then I try to watch, there's a show called Sandman on Netflix. And it's like every character was like this. I'm a pansgender attracted to blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, is that the most interesting thing they have to talk about? Like, I don't care, dude. And so like, I live in both of these worlds of the right and the left. So it's kind of, my point is free will. We should be allowed to decide if we want to watch that or not. Like with the Sandman thing, it did get annoying to me. And I was like, that's not why I stopped watching it, but it was a component of it. Cause I was like, what is this? Like, what are you trying to like, what's the story here? And I'm not trying to say that demonizing anything is going to help anything, right? Canceling isn't going to help anything. And the controversy just gives it attention and turns it into money for everyone. And that becomes a cycle of, hey, you know what? If we get Bad Bunny to kiss dudes, that'll get a lot of clicks. So then it raises this question of authenticity, which a lot of people have about Bad Bunny. And they're like, why is he doing this? I forget the term they use, that he's doing it just to, like, he's not really an advocate for the LGBTQ community, but he's more of like using it for clicks, basically, for attention. And again, it's like, if we didn't make this such a taboo thing and be outraged by it, they would probably stop doing it, right? And it's almost like the complaints make it this forbidden fruit that people have to watch. And it also contributes to people being blackmailed and used and abused and shame and making them feel bad about who they are. And like, it's just this terrible thing, right? And it's like saying, well, you know, whatever you do, don't hit the big shiny red button. It's like, well, it's human nature. We're going to look, we're going to press the button. So that brings me to the predictions. With Bad Bunny, I am torn. Because up until I watched those last few videos, I was like, oh, this guy's Illuminate confirmed all day. But now I'm like, but wait a minute. Maybe he's sort of like trying to say like, hey, they forced me into all this. I want to throw that out there. You know, I don't know how this is going to go, but it seems like he's pulling away from a lot of that controversial stuff and even seemed to say like, look, I was being forced into this. And I believe that he could be supportive of the LGBTQ community just like I am. But that also doesn't mean I want to like kiss other dudes on stage and wear dresses. You know what I mean? Like you can have both those thoughts in your head at the same time. But I wonder if he wasn't forced to do some of these things that he was like, man, I don't really want to do all this, but okay. Right. Cause he seems pretty hetero to me. And all that stuff stopped at one specific time. Right. From 2019 to 2023, it was real heavy on that stuff. And then after 23, it's like, he's trying to scream from the rafters, like, hey, they're making me do this. And then that last video we talked about with the devil elevator and the face and the demons and stuff. And he's like, this is the kind of stuff I'm subjected to. I mean, I just don't know. I don't know. So if it's true that he's trying to tell us he was forced to push it that far, I'm not sure how that's going to play into the Super Bowl, right? And you also have the masks, right? Why was he shown with the mask so much in 2019? Right. Then you have the timing of this. It's also very weird because we're like on the verge of a civil war. At least that's what they want us to do. But I think people are better than that. And I think they're trying to really bait us into this thing with ICE in the streets. And you got a bit of this Hegelian dialect, Trump calling it absolutely ridiculous. And then Bad Bunny is like denouncing ICE on the stage at the Grammys just a couple days ago. And then Roger Goodall, who's like, hey, Bad Bunny knows better. He better not. And it's like, okay, so what if he does say something anti-ICE up there? Like, that's going to be this big controversy. And now we can have this argument again about left versus right. When in all reality, when you read the Epstein files, you see Bill Clinton and what's his name? The New York mayor dude, Zohar Mamdani's mother, are just as cozy as Donald Trump. You know what I mean? Like, they're all in this together. Like, not all of them, but like representatives from both sides are doing worse things than what we're arguing about. Now, if he is being used as a pawn, or maybe I'm completely wrong, maybe he's really into all this occult stuff, still, I could see him stoking a lot of these tensions further, okay? And he would be using symbolism. And if there's symbolism to be found, you know, if we totally bail the idea that, like, hey, he's trying to wake us up that he's being used, if he just does what he's told and is like, okay, I'll do the symbolism, then we were in for a lot. Because, in fact, there was a concert he had where people said they felt demonic energy. It was around that time of the Vaticano video, which might have been his waking up moment of like, dude, I got to stop with this. And people are saying that's what the Super Bowl is going to happen, is more demonic energy. So if you're asking me specifically what predictions of symbolism, of course, all-seeing eyes is his favorite. 666, all-seeing eyes is his second favorite. And Saturn, with occult themes specifically of alchemy and the opposing polarities in Saturn. Last time he performed with Shakira, he had the stage patterns of the roses and the cross of the Rosicrucianism, which is a, you know, this mystical blend of Western Hermeticism with elements of Christianity and Kabbalah. And his first video, remember, he had the burning rose, and he is a Christian. So possibly the rose on the cross is, for Rosicrucians, sometimes they are Christians. Don't ask me. I don't understand the complexities and the nuances, but Christ on the cross represents the rose on the cross. It's the union of opposing forces, what they call the mystical marriage. It's the masculine with the feminine. Also could be sex magic, all right? Opposing forces, the X and the O. So I think you're going to see some opposing forces, X's and O's on stage is what I'm saying. He was wearing that silver jacket with the all-seeing eye skull on the back of it at the last Super Bowl. Could be something with the skull incorporated with the roses. So, I'm thinking like roses with crosses, X's and O's, any kind of opposing polarity stuff. Could be the black and white checkered floor. You know, sometimes these guys aren't that original. You know, he's got that tattoo of the alchemical rebus on his stomach. So I would propose he's into this idea of opposing polarities of the great work. Now, just for fun with the Super Bowl itself, with the actual game of the sports ball game, my prediction is based on the Epstein files. And that is that the Patriots will win. I'm actually rooting for Seattle. I don't really care. But I like Seattle. So Seattle is the favorite by 5 points. But I think that when we look at the owners, we can get a little more into who's pulling levers. Robert Kraft owns the Patriots, got that famous, you know, hand party at the Florida massage parlor, which was the incident that made Tom Brady threaten comedians at his own roast. Remember that? Remember when they were joking about it and he threatened them in their ear to stop joking about that? That was interesting, wasn't it? Robert Kraft also gave a Super Bowl ring to Putin. And his number one project is the American Football Israel League at the Kraft Family Stadium in Jerusalem, the first football stadium in Israel. And he started a foundation to combat anti-Semitism to make ads denouncing it after Kanye West said all of his anti-Semitic stuff, which he has since come out and apologized and blamed on a head injury. And then in April of 24, he withdrew his financial support of Columbia University because they were allowing students to protest the war in Gaza. Wow, that's crazy. And Robert Kraft and them called it hate speech. Okay. Also, he's a huge friend and supporter of Donald Trump, a.k.a. Israel's greatest friends, as per Netanyahu. Oddly enough, Wikipedia says that Kraft is a member and supporter of the Democratic Party, which only makes sense when you understand there's one force binding these parties together. Apparently, it seems like. I don't know. Now let's talk about the old HJ, because that's where we get into the Epstein files. In 2019, Kraft was among 25 people facing charges for soliciting prostitution at a day spa. I'm going to read you from Wikipedia so I don't get it wrong. Quote, his attorney electronically entered a non-guilty plea and later submitted a court filing where Kraft waived arraignment, pled not guilty to all charges, and requested a jury trial. A memo filed by Kraft's attorneys revealed that hidden cameras had been installed when investigators entered the facility under the guise of suspected human trafficking. A Palm Beach County judge ruled that prosecutors could not use the videos in their case, citing privacy concerns. A Florida appeals court also ruled that Kraft's constitutional rights were violated and all charges were dropped. What do you know? U.S. District Judge Rodolfo Ruiz ordered the videos to be destroyed. Now, curious, the Epstein files show much interest between Epstein and friends about Robert Kraft's situation that he was in. That was interesting. And they all kind of live near each other. Gee, I mean, I don't know, maybe. And that's why I think the Patriots are going to win. Now, let's talk about Seahawks, because they're in the files too. Guess who owns the Seahawks? Paul Allen, who's been dead since 2018, but his family owns the team in a trust. He's the childhood friend of Bill Gates. Also in the files, what was he doing? Oh, yes, that's right. He was trying to get some antibiotics to dupe his wife after he was doing things. Oh, man, I forget. Anyway, childhood friend of Bill Gates and co-founder of Microsoft. He was also into biotech, AI, had a media company named Vulcan Productions and space travel. Man, all these nerds, kind of the same person. He was also 80% owner of Ticketmaster in the 90s when Pearl Jam had that whole scandal about their excessive fees. Paul Allen, interesting. Never married, never had kids. And he had a yacht called Octopus, which made me think of that octopus conspiracy thing on Netflix. But anyway, he also featured in the files having dinner with Epstein and the boys. So, but I found more about Robert Kraft to be plugged in than Paul Allen. So that's why I'm going with the Patriots as the winner. You heard it here first. They're not favorites, though. Seattle's the favorites by 5 points, I think it is. So we'll see what happens. But as you know, the NFL probably rigged. In conclusion, stay tuned for the post-game show. I need you to subscribe right now. If you're listening on the app, if you're watching it on the YouTube or the Spotify or whatever you're doing, just subscribe. I'm going to have a show up, the post-game wrap-up. Did I get any of this right? What happened at the game? Did I get it all wrong? I've got it wrong before. Maybe it'll be me calling and be like, hey, I was wrong. There was nothing. Sorry. Either way, I'm going to have a show up late Sunday or Monday morning, depending on what happens and if anything happens. And we're going to talk about the symbolism, the conspiracies, the crazy commercials. I've got a whole thing about old Big Dick Hammer. Do you know who Big Dick Hammer is? Well, you're going to find out. So go, make sure you subscribe on the YouTube. Please let me manifest my dream of 100,000 subs before they torch me yet again. I'm sure it's coming. But I need you to go make my dreams come true. The link is always going to be in the bio. Add occult symbolism, all one word. Hit the bell and hit all notifications so you know when I'm going live, and sometimes I'm on the chat. I'm putting a lot of effort into the YouTube this year, so please help me out there. Unless you're on the supporter feeds and you're already doing everything, you can go tier 2 if you want to get the video ad-free. Okay. Whew. Thanks for listening. Links are always in the show notes. Till next time, stay positive.